In early June, protesters created a homeless encampment along the Ben Franklin Parkway. What began as a handful of tents grew to almost 200. But it was more than simply a place to live. It was designed as a protest against the lack of affordable housing. Protesters in the city engaged in negotiations for weeks, but they recently broke down, and now the city has drawn a line in the sand. They've given protesters until Friday to leave.
At this point, it's a closure that we have to do to restore the public place. Our offers remain on the table, and our offer to continue to talk with them in earnest and to resolve this peacefully, all of that remains on the table.
But organizers say they're not going anywhere.
This is a homeless encampment. This is a protest. But what this really is a civil war between poor and Black citizens of Philadelphia and the city.
I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. WHYY reporter Susan Phillips has been covering the encampment. So, Susan, exactly how did this encampment spring up on the parkway?
So, it started just as a handful of tents, you know, right around the second week in June. And a combination of things. You've got organizers from a number of groups, including Occupy PHA, the Black and Brown Workers Cooperative, and the Workers Revolutionary Collective. And they say that they had been working with unsheltered people throughout the past year and had witnessed how previous encampments were broken up by the city. And they had been organizing people who were living on the streets, and it quickly grew.
It has sheets, sleeping bags.
You know, the last time I was there, there was a massive amount of tents, right? About 150 different tents lined up. But then there were also larger tents that served as, for instance, you know, a kitchen and an office and a supply tent.
We have two supply tents, actually.
And there were volunteers in the medical tent giving people medical attention. There were people cooking. I mean, a lot of people were sort of just hanging out in their individual tents, but a lot of other people were, you know, working. They were sorting clothes. There was a makeshift shower, and there was a hand-washing station there.
I have a team. They organize. They write the inventory. Whatever we get, they write in the inventory book, and then we put it out for those to take whatever they need.
It definitely had the hum of a little village. Now, of course, all of this within sight of, you know, the Philadelphia Museum of Art, the Rodin Museum was right across the street, the Barnes Museum is right down the street. So in normal days, you know, in a spring or summer, there'd be a lot of tourists in that area. Because of COVID-19, there's less tourists there.
So you went to the encampment and talked to the people who are living there. How do they describe being there?
You know, I think that's one of the most important things to highlight here is that all the people I spoke to liked living there better than they liked living on the streets or in a shelter.
Well, it's a little more peaceful here. You don't have to worry about getting your head popped open.
I talked to one resident, Jose Alicia, and in his case, he lost his job after being assaulted.
I lost my job, my work truck, my house, everything.
He ended up sleeping beneath the overpass at the convention site. There was an encampment there. Then he went to Chinatown and, you know, a friendly homeowner let him sleep on her doorstep.
She used to always say good morning, bring me food and stuff. And I used to help her out.
But, you know, when he moved to the homeless encampment on the parkway, he described it as awesome. Although it's far from ideal. I mean, sleeping in tents night after night has its downsides.
This ain't fun. You know how uncomfortable it is to change clothes in here? People walk by and go, oh my God, that's a big tent. Yeah, big until you gotta stand up and change your pants. Let's try that one.
This wasn't just built as an encampment to help the homeless. It's also a form of protest, right?
This protest aims to force the city and the Philadelphia Housing Authority to make systemic changes to help homeless residents. But it's you know, it's very different than any of the previous encampments. The city has taken down several homeless encampments within the past year, including one in Kensington. But this one is very organized, and the organizers, you know, they have a traditional socialist viewpoint.
So we, WRC, had been doing outreach with unhoused brothers and sisters for over a year.
So that's Alex Stewart. He's with the Workers' Revolutionary Collective.
And the city would just throw people's belongings away. You had people who had their only pictures of their kids, only pictures of their parents, and the city would just throw them in a trash compactor. Once we educated our brothers and sisters on what their options were, they said they wanted to set up an encampment here as an act of protest, so we supported it how we could.
Well, I'm just trying to get clear here. This started around the same time as the George Floyd protest. Is this part of that?
Definitely. I mean, I think the protests themselves gave a lot of energy to this. But from talking to the organizers, it sounds like they've been organizing around homeless issues for a long time. It wasn't just an idea that popped into their heads after George Floyd, but I think they've made the connections with racial injustice, with police brutality, and how homeless residents are treated.
So what exactly do the protesters want?
The main thing they want is affordable permanent housing. And they have a number of ideas to get there. One is to force the Philadelphia Housing Authority to transfer all its vacant property to a community land trust. But it's important to note that PHA is a federal agency guided by a complex web of federal red tape. So they can't just necessarily hand over their housing stock to a land trust. Also, they want the city to build a tiny house village. Tiny house villages consist basically of one-room structures. It's basically a wooden tent, you know, be the size of one bedroom. And residents who live in these villages share common kitchen and bathroom facilities. And it's a model that's been used successfully in Seattle.
What's the state of affordable housing right now in Philadelphia? How much is available?
Well, you know, I talked to Kelvin Jeremiah. He runs the Philadelphia Housing Authority. And he told me that there's close to 50,000 people on the affordable housing wait list. And that includes things like Section 8 and subsidized public housing. In terms of homelessness, the city says that there's more than 5,000 people homeless. And about 1,000 people are actually living on the streets. Both city officials and the organizers of this encampment agree that it's a serious issue that needs to be addressed. I think it's just where they disagree is how the city could address this issue immediately.
So are people there, Susan, just to demonstrate, or are they there because they need a safe place to stay?
I think it's both. You know, I think a lot of the people there are homeless, and it's a lot better options than where they were living previous to that. And then there are people who, you know, have a political agenda, and they're very clear about it.
I'm wondering, too, about COVID-19. There are so many people living in such close quarters. Is there a concern about people getting infected?
Yes, there was a big concern in the beginning, and there was a number of folks who did get tested. If you go to the camp, there are signs that encourage hand washing and mask wearing. A lot of people are wearing masks there. I think at least one person has tested positive, but, you know, it hasn't developed as a COVID hotspot. The latest evidence that we're hearing from scientific researchers is the most dangerous risk when it comes to developing COVID-19 comes from being inside, not outside.
So how has safety been at the camp otherwise?
Yeah, so a lot of people I talked to said it's peaceful, that they have no intention not to be peaceful. But, you know, if you want to take a listen to Jose, he says things do happen.
You got your drug addicts, you got your drunks. So there's always going to be a conflict somewhere.
You know, a lot of people I talked to who are living there said it's definitely safer. They felt safer than living on the streets. But, you know, there has been two stabbings and there was one overdose death. So that has certainly caused alarm with city officials as well as the surrounding neighbors.
So, Susan, I know a lot of kids play baseball at that park. Has this been an issue with neighbors?
Yes, it has. Now, you know, there are neighbors who are supportive of it. There have been even people who have been, you know, going down there and making donations. But there's also a large group of people who are very worried about it for a number of reasons. You know, they're worried about trash. They say they've seen raw feces at the camp. They're worried about drug use. Dozens of people signed a petition drafted by the Logan Square Neighborhood Association urging the city to act because, you know, there's 400 kids who have signed up to play ball with the Fairmount Sports Association. And, you know, these are kids that have been shut in all spring and they want to start playing again. So that's been a big issue.
When we come back,
they're not doing nothing. Everything is, oh, well, we have a problem. Let's go have a meeting across the street. Meetings aren't helping no more.
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. I'm talking to Susan Phillips about the homeless encampment protest on the parkway. So how has the city responded to all this, to the demands of the group and the neighbors' complaints and all of that?
So before negotiations broke down, they had actually been talking for about a month. And the city says that they made a number of offers, including speeding up the creation of tiny house villages. Those are just these tiny one-room structures where homeless residents can live, and then they share a kitchen and a bathroom. They also said they were willing to work with each individual resident of the camp to try to come up with a plan for eventually getting permanent housing. But I think what the impasse came down to is timing, right? So the city says, look, we want to do this. We agree with what you're saying, but we need time. This doesn't happen overnight. And the folks at the homeless encampment were saying, well, there's no reason for us to leave here unless you're giving us permanent housing now. And then I think it was Thursday afternoon, there was a press release sent out by the organizers saying they've left the table. They're not negotiating with the city anymore because the city's not giving them a permanent housing solution. So the city sends out an email Friday morning and says, we're going to have a press conference in 2 hours via Zoom. So at the press conference, Eva Gladstein, who runs the Health and Human Services for the city, she basically said that they were at an impasse and they couldn't negotiate anymore.
We said that they could not stay there permanently. It was not going to be safe or healthy. And we feel, unfortunately, at this point that we needed to post a notice that the camp would need to close no later than 9 a.m. on July 17th.
So we've set a hard deadline for everyone from the camp has to leave by Friday, 9 a.m.
So how have organizers responded?
Monday morning, the protesters held a press conference, and it was more like a rally, actually, where a lot of people spoke. There was a lot of chanting that was going on, and they made it loud and clear that they are not going anywhere unless they get permanent housing from the city.
From here on out, we don't want any services from the city unless it's housing. We don't want your waters. No. We don't want your outreach. Defund the Office of Homeless Services. Defund!
They have also set up a new encampment in Fairmount Park, basically because they say that the one on the parkway, they don't want it to get overcrowded at this point. Well, I did reach out to Jose again, Jose Alicia. I found him by his tent, and I asked him what he was going to do. And as you can imagine, not everybody in the camp is on the same page. Are you going to stick around?
Hell no. I'm out of here. No, I'm going back to where I was at before. Chinatown is where I was at, and I was fine there.
So it really remains to be seen what will happen Friday morning.
Did the city say whether or not they were going to use the police department to clear the camp?
They didn't, you know, say they weren't going to use the police. But I think they were saying over and over again that what they want to do is go and talk to everybody at the camp and try to come up with individual solutions, get them out of there. When I asked them, you know, are you going to rule out using the police? Their answer was basically, we haven't decided that yet.
We're hopeful that people will leave on their own accord when we're able to connect them to services. But I don't want to get into hypotheticals about the day itself at this point.
Why do you think there's been this focus on housing? And why do you think it's happening now?
I think in part they've been inspired by these protests that have happened across the country against police brutality and in favor of the Black Lives Matter movement. But the issues they talk about, institutional racism, poverty, of course, they extend beyond police brutality. You know, the majority of residents at the camp are people of color. Both city officials and organizers agree that these are systemic issues that touch upon racial and economic justice. They just couldn't agree on immediate solutions. But, you know, the city's position now is that this is a public space designated for public use, and the camp is preventing that use. So that's one of the reasons why they've, you know, set this deadline that everybody has to be gone by Friday.
Do you think it helped homeless people?
That's a good question. I mean, I think that will remain to be seen, right? I mean, has it helped certain individuals who were living there? Maybe. I mean, some of them were moved into hotels. Maybe some of them will get services from the city now that they didn't get before. But overall, has it changed how much aid that cities like Philadelphia, you know, one of the poorest cities in the nation, faces? I mean, that remains to be seen. I don't know.
Well, Susan, thanks so much for your reporting on this and talking to us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Susan Phillips is a reporter with WHYY. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Binyakov, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, with help from Sabrina Boyd Circa, and under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. We had editing help from Joanne McLaughlin. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. Stay well. We'll talk Thursday.